The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have. You are God, and we are yours, created by you. Father, I thank you that you will move your servant out of the way, that you will have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. Lord, there's nothing greater in all the world than you. Nothing. So teach us. And those of us who need comfort, Lord, I pray you would comfort us. And those of us who need conviction, I pray you would convict us. Thank you. It will never be the same because we're getting in your word. In your son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say, praise God. A lot of people ask me sometimes, Pastor, why do you pray the same prayer every time you speak? Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know why you would ask it, but if you're curious, that's a good question. Because it works. It works. What's the use of changing something that works? How many of you want to go to the airport and say, yeah, I want you to take one wing off that plane? Let's just try it. We know two wings does what? Work. Yes, two of them work. Well, I'm getting ready to go down this hill, and I'd like for you to take the brakes off. Just cut the brake line. See how it's going to work. I want my car to have, you can respond. We want our cars to have brakes because brakes work. Remind me of the young man who was taking his final exam on the 18-wheeler transfer truck. They're going to come a long road hauler. And they said, final test. You're coming down this 45-degree decline. Anybody know what a 45-degree decline? I mean, that's steep. Real steep. So you're coming down in your 18-wheeler. Your brakes fail. You're coming up. It's a sheer 300-foot drop off your right. On the left is one lane with cars coming up the hill. And if you go all the way over to the left, there's a sheer rock cliff you're going to run into on the far left side. And you're coming up on this vehicle and you can't slow down. What will you do? God didn't even think about it. He said, I will wake up my relief driver, Leroy. He said, what? I will wake up right now my relief driver, Leroy. He said, why would you do that? He said, you got to understand, Leroy is from a small town. He's never seen a wreck like this going to be. That's us. Sometimes we get in life, man, and it's just like we have no brakes. We have only one wing. And what is going to happen? How are we going to handle it? I want to tell you today, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus, verse 9, John 1. We're rolling 2 months. Verse 9, chapter 1. That was the true light which lighted every man that cometh into the world. That is the true light. Now, if there is a true light, can we agree that there is a false light? Can anyone in here think through your mind, through your experiences, through your thought patterns of what may be a false light? Lucifer, son of the morning, was given as the angel of light. Confusion. That's when so many people say, well, I died and I was going through this tunnel and I saw this light and I came back. Jesus Christ said he's a true light. No one, we're going to see him here a little bit later on in the same chapter. No one has seen God. You better watch out that light you've been seeing in that tunnel. Could be camouflage. What you said, camouflage? It's chemical. It is. When your brain goes like that and you pass out, it's a chemical thing. You a pharmacist? All right. I'm learning today. May not even be Satan. Could be chemicals. There's a false light out there. But Jesus Christ says, I am the true light. Do you guys understand anything about this light stuff? If he is the true light, you better understand what he's supposed to do in a dark heart. In any life that does not have Jesus Christ, whether you believe it or not, it's dark. You may go, Pastor, I don't see that. I see non-Christians living a lot better than me. Anybody can say amen to that one. Come on. I've seen Christians not walking with God have a better life than me. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever seen that? Maybe you've ever said that. Maybe some of you been Christians said, man, I see what Christians go through. I'm not going down that road. I'm going to stay over here and just be myself. Let me tell you something. Don't think there isn't scripture to handle that. Anyone know what the scripture is that handles that? Let me lay it. You can look at it a little later on, but about this false light. See, if you think you're doing good without God, that is a false light. Luke chapter 16, don't turn, we're just going to throw it at you real quick. We got to get back, but we got a lot of verses in a small time. Luke chapter 16 talks about Lazarus and the rich man. And it says, straightforward, this truth. See, God loves everybody. Do you know the Bible teaches that God loves everybody? We're going to have a time in the book of John to go through Calvinism and the belief of Calvinism, the five-point tulip is called, which we don't believe the 5 points here. We believe 4 of the 5 points because I believe the Bible believes 4 of the 5. So that's where we stand. But do you understand how unbelievable it is for us to get caught up in what we think someone is doing and how great they're doing without God? It comes along and God tells the rich man, very great verse. It says, the Lazarus who suffered died and the angels came and got him. The rich man died. And they just buried him. That's the first thing. Second thing he asked, please send Lazarus over here. He said, let him dip his finger in a little water to cool my burning soul up. You know what he said? He said, remember, in your lifetime on the earth, you had it good. It's time for Lazarus to have it good and for you to be in torment. Do you understand what God just said? He said, if you don't believe in me, if you don't accept me, I still love you, but the best I can do for you is give you a good life on earth. So don't be running around getting upset and frustrated non-believers who live better than you, because they only going to live good for a little short time. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ and you're condemned, best God can do for you is give you a kind of nice life here on this earth. Whew. A non-believer not walking with God, is sometimes what I can do for you best is because I'm going to give you a good life here on earth, because when you get to heaven and you get your job, you may be for eternity the sweeper of the swimming pool. Underwater with no tanks. But praise God, you'll be in heaven. But it's what you're going to miss out on being able to give God. So don't get jealous when you think someone is living in darkness is having it better than you. God has made a promise. I love them, but the best I can do for them is got to be on earth. I am the true light. There's a lot of false light then. Anyone else think of some false light? Huh? How about comfort, creature comforts? You know, that can be a false light. I've seen materialism destroy marriages because they think if I could just get that new house, we'll be better off. I could get that. Can't hear you. Is that a false light? Is that some darkness that the true light wants to reveal? Oh, look at this. Verse 4 and 5. Jump back because we're going to 4, 5, and 9. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness overcame it not. Whoa. How many of you understand that there's no such thing as darkness? Now, the word in the Bible is used for you and I to know there's a contrast between light. But darkness is simply the absence of light. There's nothing in darkness. Darkness is nothing. You understand that? It's nothing. Nothing means what? Zero with the rim kicked off. There's nothing there. And until God brought the light, oh, you're looking at me like, all right, now I got scripture. I got scripture to back me up. Can I go? Can I go to scripture? Turn with me to Genesis. Come on. Genesis chapter 1. Read it with me. I know you're going to love it when you see it. Verse 2, and the earth was without form. Chapter 1, book of Genesis, verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was what? Light. Dark, void, empty, no form. So the light stepped in. Anyone want to get excited with me? Am I the only one? Light stepped in, and everything that was void had purpose. Everything that was empty was full. Everything that wasn't was. Because light revealed and pushed out the dark. You know what's so amazing? I don't care how dark your life is. I don't care how much sin you have. I don't care how bad you think you are, and God is never going to forgive me for anything. Have you ever noticed that the dark, I don't care how dark it is, you can see one spark miles away. You know the first thing they teach you in the army if you're going to be in combat? Duck. I love this church, man. You can't get this in any other church right now, boy. Were you in the military? You were, huh? Duck. God told me one time, you know how many, you know why so many black brothers got killed in Vietnam? The sergeant called, would scream, get down! They started dancing. We had to retrain. Out of my neighborhood, everyone knew what get down mean, boy. Now, what were we talking about before you messed me up? Where were we? Oh, this man messed. Spark. Thank you. Not duck, spark. I don't care how dark it is. They train you. Don't light up any type of light when you're in combat because of snipers. As dark as it can be, guys will light up a cigarette and a sniper shoot you right in the mouth. Am I lying? Unbelievable. Darkness cannot overcome the light. And I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how bad you think you are. The true light, Jesus Christ, will light that up. You just got to give it to him. You know, you sit there and you think about, but my situation is so dark. It's not going to work. She's never going to change. He's never going to change. I might as well throw my hands up. That's a false light. That's not the true light. True light's been given to us. True light stepped in and created everything. And if a true light can step in and do everything, woo! My goodness. Check this out. And verse 5, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness overcame it not. Anyone have any idea what we're talking about? I mean, seriously. God said, let there be light. And what did the scripture say? There was light. Do you guys understand about creation? Understand anything about what happened? When we deal with the word world, the cosmos, we're going to go back and forth through verse 9, 10, and 11. Watch out. Because if you don't follow me, you're going to lose what the writer is trying to tell you, because there's a difference in understanding a world and own, O-W-N, and own, O-W-N. Major difference. We're going to get into it. God says, let there be light. Anyone know how fast light travels? Fast. Duck. Light travels 186,000 miles per second. Picture that. 186,000 miles per second. God spoke directly to light. Let there be light, my boy, boogie. And if God spoke directly to you and I, verbally, we'll move that fast. Or fall over dead. One of the two. Hudge. I hope we don't do it anytime soon. I need to finish this sermon. 186,000 miles per second. Anybody in here? It travels so fast and goes so far, they had to come up with a new term. Because when God created our solar system, dropped us in the Milky Way galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy is estimated 300,000 light years in length, 100,000 light years in width. That's light years. Anyone know what a light year is? Time of the amount, the distance. A light year is the distance light travels in 1 year. Most people get a light year mixed up with a white year. We're not talking about a white year. White year is a 365 days without seeing any people of color. And at Antioch, that's not going to happen. Can I have an amen, somebody? Come on, encourage the pastor. Light travels 186,000 miles per second. If you want to know how far light travels in 1 minute, you take 186,000, multiply times 60, and you would get how far light travels in a minute. Light travels in a minute 11,160,000 miles. 1 minute. You want to get how far light travels in an hour? You take 11,160,000, multiply that times 60, you come up how far light travels in 1 hour. Light travels in 1 hour, and I know you geeks right now on those mobile Bibles. It's sitting there like this. I don't have enough zeros on it. You're not even listening to me. You Googling. Prove this boy wrong. Light travels in 1 hour, 11,160,000. 1 day. Are you ready for this? 1 day. Did I just give an hour a day? Okay, I gave an hour. You multiply 24 to get how far light travels in a day. Light travels in a day 11,070,400,000 miles. What are we looking at? That's a day. Travels 669,000,000. 400,000 in an hour, multiply that times 24, you get the 11,070,400,000. Now, you want to get how far light travels in 1 year? You take 11 billion. 70,400,000 multiplied times 365. You know how much light travels in 1 year? Break it down, Pastor. National debt. We're just trying to be scientific in the United States. Light travels in 1 year, 5,865,696,000,000 miles in 1 year, give or take a couple. And our God put light in every one of those miles because light had to get here. Do you understand that the nearest star that we that warms us up, and I get so sick and tired of scientists because scientists didn't give us the sun. God gave us the sun. But they're all trying to get people worried. The sun's going to nova. I'm not worried about that. I don't even like Chevrolets. Some of you going, what? What's that? You know why the Chevy Nova failed? Because they tried to give it in South America. Anyone know what Nova means? Go, no. Translated in English, no go. Would you buy a car that says no go? So I don't even like Chevrolet. I got a Dodge. And when my God, who is the light, and the sun didn't come up with light. You know that. God made light travel in 1 year, 5,865,696,000,000 miles, traveling at 186,000 miles per second. If we could get that fast, it would take us 4.5 years to get from our star to the next clearest and closest star, which is Alpha Centauri, which is 4.5 light years away, multiplied 5,865,696,000,000 times 4.5, multiplied to the nearest billion. It's 26,395,000,000 miles. It'll take us to travel. And God spoke it into being. I want to ask you a question. You guys got any problems faster than light? People ask me, Pastor, do you worry? Not when I got a God that's faster than light. Can move anytime he wants to. Got the power to do it when he get there. You understand our God is so great that we're looking in the sky at night when we see stars. It has taken so long for that light to get here that the star it started from is already burned out. That's the true light of God Almighty. Anybody impressed? Not with me, but with the God we serve. I'm telling you right now, that's smoking. Look at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. That revealed light that brought out of darkness everything that is the world. And we're not talking about just the third planet of our solar system. We're talking about every aspect, cosmos. See, if you just translate the world, we think we're talking about Earth. Translated cosmos means everything is organized, the firmaments, everything you see, all the nebulae, all the black holes. And I don't know why. Everything out there to me is a black hole. Can I have an amen? Yeah. With some light in there called stars. Ah! My God created it with his word. The world, the cosmos, everything that exists. Let me ask you a question. You heard me say I got that black Dodge. You hear that, bro? Okay, you know, you got to pay attention. I know, got a job, but you also got to pay attention. If I want to get my Dodge truck fixed, do you think I ought to go to the Maytag dealer? Come on, talk to the pastor. Talk to the pastor. What am I saying? Maytag repairing got all kinds of time. But if I want my Dodge truck fixed, do I go to the Maytag dealer? No. Not me. Oh, I know. How about the Chevy dealer? They got cars. They know cars. They got mechanics. I can go to a Chevrolet dealer to get my Dodge truck fixed, but you know what? They may run into some problem because they didn't manufacture the Dodge. So if I want to go really get my truck fixed, black on black, in black, with a touch of black, with a black driver, diesel truck, I'm very green. I go to the manufacturer. Anybody? They know, they built it, they have all the stats, they have all the manuals. And since God created you and I, where should you go to get fixed? You got to go to the manufacturer's manual. Anybody know what the manufacturer's manual is? The Word of God that created out of darkness everything because He moved in and revealed all that was not. Oh, I don't know about you, but sometimes we just run out of time. Isn't that something? Now check this out, because you can get lost. Verse 10, John 1. He was in the world, the cosmos, the creation. And the world, the cosmos, was made by him. And the world, human mankind, knew him not. Did you see it? Did you see it? See, there's no way that his creation, the world and the world, the first two, won't know him. Can't reject him. He's got to be obedient. Then it gets down to the third world and says, it rejected him. Wouldn't accept him. So that's not cosmos. That's Homo sapiens. Oh, you're looking at me like, okay, turn with me to Romans. Hurry, hurry. This can bury. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, listen to this. Do you know if you're sitting in here today and you say something like, you know, I don't know anything about God. Can I tell you right now, the pastor is going to say something to you that's just tough. And that is, you are a flat out liar. So I'm going to go with the Bible. Okay, I'm going with the Bible. You may not know a lot about him. You may not know his name. You may not know how he works. But you know there's a God. Let me see if I can explain it a little bit better. Some of you are looking at me like, boy, that pastor up there, he's nuts. What other group of people do you know has come up with a society to base their whole life on something they believe does not exist? Democrat. Did you say Democrat? You should be ashamed of yourself. What is the issue? Atheists is the only society that base their whole life on something they say don't exist. How smart is that? Let's start a whole society from Antioch of people who don't believe there's any pink elephants. We're going to base our whole life, our whole future, everything on the basis that there's no pink elephants. We know there's no pink elephant. Why waste time thinking about it? So if an atheist don't think there's a God, why are they always struggling? Tell you why. They know it is. The major thing to do is just get out from under the responsibility of that God who's been picking on them and picking on them and picking on them and showing some light in their dark life. And every time it gets due, bam, some more light. And then you come in and have a discussion with a group of people, bam, some light flicker in that darkness. And they have a little difficulty, some problems come, bam, flick a light. Flick a light, flick a light, flick a light. God is flicking his beak. Every time you turn around, you can't get away from God. But man tries. Why? Because right here, they rejected. Verse 19, Romans 1. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it unto them. I'm going to go with what the Bible says, not with what an atheist says. I'm going to go with what the Bible says, not some of you that's sitting in here and saying, well, I don't know that much about God. I don't know if there is a God or not. Yes, you do. You do know there's a God. What are you going to do with him is the issue. Verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. If you're sitting here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, you have no excuse. If you're sitting here today and you know Christ and you've accepted him and you're not living with it, not walking with him, not being righteous, you know you're not. And that's no excuse. You know it. It's written on you. It'd be nice to be able to turn our brains off and our hearts off and the knowledge of God given them, but you can't. Ooh, he was in the cosmos, and the cosmos was made by him, and mankind knew him not. Because John 3:19, we're going to get into that. They loved the darkness more than they loved the light. Now, that verse don't say that there was no light in that darkness. They just kept trying to crawl back in that dark hole. But the Holy Spirit is not going to let it happen. Yeah. Verse 11, we got to get out of here. You guys ready to sing? My Ukrainian buddies, are you ready to kick it a little bit? Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Don't get confused about that own stuff. He came to his own, and his own received him not. He came to his own cosmos, and his own mankind who he had created rejected him. I like this. This is just Bible, isn't it? This is just down to earth stuff. He came to what he created, what he started, what he brought out of darkness, what he did from nothing, owned it, still does. And he walked into that world where inside that world, he created you and I. Verse 6 of Genesis 1. You want to know a serious thing that God did for you and I? Serious. It says, in the beginning, verse 1, God created Adam. That's A-T-O-M. Can I have an amen? In the beginning, God created the heaven. In order to create the heaven and earth, he had to create Adam. A-T-O-M. And in the atom business, electrons, protons, and neutrons, they repel each other. And God says, stick together, because I am the cosmic glue. You're going to stay together until I turn you loose. And when God turns it loose, that is judgment, and that's the Big Bang Theory. Can I have an amen? God created it from A-T-O-M. And he moved from A-T-O-M to the first 5 days till he got to Adam. He created A-D-A-M. You and I. You and I. God does not miss anything. And since you and I are his creation, you have enough light to make great decisions of what's right and wrong. You can jump in the dark. You can want to stay in the dark. You can say, I don't want it. But God owns you. He owns you. He dictates everything about your future. You see, if you own yourself, you can tell God where you want to go when you die. Can I have an amen? Evidently, you don't own yourself. But guess what? You can make him who owns you be your savior instead of your judge. Because he's going to live up to both names. And if you never accepted Jesus Christ in here, what a great time today to do it. Don't make it tough. You don't need a four-year degree. Only thing we need is for you to come to your reality about one thing. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, ask yourself this question. Why not? Why not? You know it's true. You can deny it, but you know it's true that there is a God. And if there is a God, don't you want to know how you want to deal with him when you leave this place? Because I have never seen anyone in my life, heard about anyone in the past history that survived death. All of us will die. Some in the past have died twice, but they still died. What are we going to do? What you going to do with my Lord, my Savior? What you going to do with Jesus? He's waiting. He wants you to know that you are his, you are owned, but he wants to work with you in that relationship. That takes surrender. Father, thank you so much. If there's anyone here that do not know you, make it simple for them, Lord. Let them understand today is the day of salvation. They can say, Jesus, here I am. I believe you. I don't understand everything about you, but I believe you. Jesus, I'm here right now praying. I got to believe you're God and you're man. You said you were. I'm going to believe it. You said I need to forget my sins, get my sins forgiven in order to be right with you. I'm asking right now, Lord, forgive me of my sin. The greatest sin is just living my own life. Living in darkness and not even knowing it. That's what we call blind. Lord, thank you for that prayer right now. I'm saying, here I am. I want to be your child. I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for forgiving me because you promised you would if I asked. Forgive me. I believe this. Lord, help my unbelief to live for you tomorrow. In your son's most holy, precious, glorious name, we all say, praise God.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.